Captain's log, stardate 46682.4. The Enterprise is docked at the Remler Array, where it will undergo a routine procedure to eliminate accumulated baryon particles. In preparation for the sweep, we are evacuating the ship.
Attention personnel on decks 14 and 15. Your transporter room assignment has been changed. Report to transporter room 3.
Captain, we're still behind schedule on deck 7 and 8. Shall I tell our carrier base there'll be a delay?
No. Open up the transporters on cargo bay 2 and divert everyone from deck 7 to there. That should put us back on track.
Right.
All Beta Shift engineering personnel are requested to report to main engineering prior to disembarking.
The Acaria base does not have the medical storage units I requested. I have 7 living tissue samples that won't survive the baryon sweep any more than you and I would. I've tried to reason with them.
All right, have Command LaForge transport a stasis unit from the astrophysics lab. You should be able to convert it to store tissue samples.
Thank you, Captain.
All science personnel, please check in with your section chief for a station-side duty assignment.
Captain, I'm heading to Deck 7. I've put the auto shutdown sequence on hold until we get back on schedule.
Oh, I think we can resume the sequence. Counselor Troy is taking care of the situation on Deck 7.
Aye, sir.
Captain?
Bridge.
It has been quite a day. Has it not?
Yes, it has.
However, a change of routine is often invigorating and can be a welcome diversion after a long assignment.
Exactly.
I understand that Arcaria has some very interesting weather patterns.
Mr. Data, are you all right?
Yes, sir. I am attempting to fill a silent moment with non-relevant conversation.
Small talk.
Yes, sir. I have found that humans often use small talk during awkward moments. Therefore, I have written a new subroutine for that purpose. How did I do?
Perhaps it was a little too non-relevant. But if you really are interested in small talk, then you should keep your eye on Commander Hutchinson at the reception this afternoon. He's a master.
Thank you, sir. I will. Captain.
Captain, you will have to give your computer the authorization to... After you, sir.
No, after you.
No, sir, I believe you spoke first.
Gentlemen, we're running out of time. Mr. Wolf.
The computer needs your authorization to disable command functions during the baryon sweep.
Are we ready, Commander LaForge?
Almost. I've requested 2 additional field diverters, one for the computer core, one for the bridge. They haven't been installed yet.
Additional units?
Yes, sir. We've logged in 5 years more warp hours than most ships do in 10, so our baryon particle levels are high. I'm a little concerned that when the Remler array starts to sweep the ship, it'll have to use a stronger beam than normal in order to get rid of all the radiation.
And that might overload the field converters protecting our key systems. How long until the new ones are in place?
I'd say about 20 minutes.
Very well. Computer, disable all command functions in 30 minutes. Authorization Picard Gamma 6073.
Authorization acknowledged.
Captain, incoming message. It's the station administrator, Mr. Orton.
In my ready room, Mr. Wolf.
And Captain, request permission to be excused from Commander Hutchinson's reception.
Permission granted. Wish I could excuse myself as well.
Captain, permission to
Mr. LaForge, I cannot excuse my entire senior staff. Mr. Wolf beat you to it.
As Picard enters his ready room, Worf smiles to himself, while LaForge grimaces and goes back to work.
Go ahead, Mr. Orton.
Captain, if you're on schedule, I'd like to confirm that we'll begin the baryon sweep at 1500 hours, approximately 1 hour from now.
Confirmed.
Commander Hutchinson also wanted me to make sure that you'll be able to attend his reception this afternoon.
Picard's shoulders hunch at the thought.
Tell him I'm looking forward to it.
He'll be delighted to hear that. Arcaria base out.
Picard returns to a completely deserted bridge and is taken by surprise for a moment. He takes in the room as if for the first time and slowly moves to the navigation area and leans against one of the chairs. He makes his way to the upper level, where Worf usually works. He lovingly caresses the sweeping wooden handrail above his captain's chair. As he recalls all that's happened here, he smiles with nostalgic pride before going to the turbo lift.
Tell our carrier base we're almost finished here.
We're going to need two more conduits.
I need to run a diagnostic on the diverter.
Get the diverter aligned so we can begin the isolation procedure.
Where's the ODN interface?
He's appalled by this invasion. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Starship Mine, voiced by Glenn MacCready. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn push the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. The reception is in a fabulous building at the edge of a deep ravine, below which is a river, snaking away into the mountainous golden horizon. Data scans the assembled company before locating, observing, and even quietly imitating what can only be the loquacious Commander Hutchinson.
Beverly, lovely as ever.
How do you manage it?
It's good to see you again.
It's been far too long. What is it, 4 years? Now I want to hear about everything that happened after you left Starfleet Medical. And I have so much to tell you. Oh, that must be Commander Riker. Excuse me.
Of course.
Pardon me.
Orton deserts Riker.
You must be Will Riker.
I must be.
Calvin Hutchinson. Call me Hutch. Calvin, awful name. I've never forgiven my parents. Soon as I saw you, I knew you had to be the Enterprise's first officer.
Oh,
of course. Your reputation precedes you. Flashing blue eyes, square jaw, quite the ladies' man, I hear. Now, don't be modest, Will. Oh, may I call you Will?
Sure.
I also hear that you're a musician. I certainly hope you'll play something for us. It's not often we get to entertain the command crew of the flagship. Oh, and speaking of command. Hello, Captain Picard.
Commander.
I was just telling your first officer what a real pleasure it is to have all of you here. So, how are you anyway?
Very well, thank you. What have you been up to?
We've just returned. It is very good to see you both again. Beverly.
May I call you Beverly?
Beverly, have you noticed that the mean temperature here on Darkaria is slightly higher than normal for human comfort levels? I have found that humans prefer a body temperature of 21 degrees Celsius in order to operate most efficiently. However, there are several cultures who actually prefer that their body temperature is identical to the temperature of the room in which they are standing. The Shellyak, for example.
I am telling you, you have never seen anything like this. There were thousands of these creatures. The whole northern sky turned dark.
Geordi, Deanna, I don't think you have met our host. This is Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge.
Hello.
Hi. Counselor Deanna Troi.
Hello.
This is Commander Hutchinson.
Oh, please call me Hutch.
Hello.
I was just telling your captain here about some of the more fascinating sights here in Arcaria. Either of you interested in ornithology?
The
mating habits of the Arcarian horned fowl are quite interesting. If the weather were better, we could take horses to the southern promontory and visit the nesting ground.
Horses?
Yes. We have a network of trails through the plains. Unfortunately, it's not very pleasant right now. Cold, muddy, not a soul for kilometers.
Sounds perfect. Miss LaForge, how long before the Baryon sweep begins on the Enterprise?
About 25 minutes, sir.
Then I have enough time to go back to the ship and get my saddle.
Your saddle?
Yes, saddle is a very personal thing. It has to be broken in, used, cared for.
You keep a saddle on board the Enterprise?
Oh, yes, yes. I never know when I will have the opportunity to ride.
I see.
It's perfectly normal. You know, most serious riders do have their own saddle.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Well, if you'll excuse me.
He nearly walks into a wall in his haste to escape.
Amazing man. You know, he reminds me of another officer I knew years ago, a Captain Edwell. Now, he was fascinating. Born on Gaspar 7, but you wouldn't know it from the way he looked.
Aboard the Enterprise, Picard has his saddle and is in riding gear.
Auto shutdown sequence in progress. Defensive systems offline. Variant sweep begins in 8 minutes.
Picard strides down a hallway and his attention is suddenly caught by a mass of severed fiber optics dangling from a junction box on the wall.
What are you doing?
Startled, Picard whirls around.
Someone left this ODN junction box open. I thought your crew was supposed to be off the ship once the field diverters were in place.
The diverters have to be synchronized. I was laser bonding a backup link.
I see. Well, I'd better let you finish up so that you can get off the ship.
Excuse me a minute.
The crewman advances on Picard and activates the laser bonder in his hand. Picard clouts him with the saddle, disarming him and sending him sprawling. He gets up again and lunges at Picard, who takes his arm, ducks under it, and twists it into an arm lock, followed by a Vulcan grip which knocks him out.
Auto shutdown sequence in progress. Primary power offline in 1 minute.
He races away along a hallway and overhears two more of this sinister crew.
We still need to bypass the magnetic containment conduit.
That should be down on deck 30.
Well, then get Pommett started on it right away.
Primary power offline in 30 seconds.
When he's sure they've passed, Picard races towards a transporter room.
Final warning. Primary power offline in 10 seconds.
The deadly green beams start their sweep at the rear of the Enterprise as Picard desperately tries to engage the transporter in time. He runs up onto the transporter platform just as the power dies completely. Alone and in darkness, Picard steps down from the transporter, knowing that the fatal beams of the sweep are inching ever closer. At the reception, Data has cornered Orton.
Yes. I find it fascinating that your family chose to drop the prefix Pell from your surname. It was my understanding that Pell Orton is a more noble appellation than simply Orton.
Yes.
Perhaps the recent Arcarian trend toward a more egalitarian society is partly responsible, eh?
Perhaps.
The crew of the Magellan actually put on a talent show here. Captain Conklin did a poetry reading, if you can imagine that.
I'm trying to.
Did I ever tell you how I happened to be stationed here? It's a fascinating story. I was serving on Admiral Mitchell's staff on Starbase 97. Awful place, by the way.
Have you met our commander, Data?
I take your meaning exactly.
As a matter of fact, I find it oddly amusing.
No, I don't think so. Interesting.
I'll introduce you. There are several cultures in this sector with extremely similar etymological histories. For example...
Mr. Data, I don't know if you've had a chance to meet our host, Commander Hutchinson.
Call me Hutch.
Lieutenant Commander Data, our second officer.
A pleasure.
The pleasure is mine. Hutch. I've been meaning to compliment you on your choice of colors here.
Oh, you really think so? Well, it wasn't easy making a final decision, let me tell you.
I can well imagine. The light in this room would make color selection exceptionally problematic.
Precisely.
Thank you. You're welcome. I'm not sure which one to feel sorry for.
Mr. Orton?
You'll excuse me, Commander.
Geordi.
What happened to the captain? Oh, he went back to the ship to get his saddle.
His saddle?
Any serious rider would have his own saddle. He probably went straight to the stables. I bet he's 10 kilometers from here already.
Lucky him. Thank you.
As the Beryon sweep makes its slow, inexorable progress along the Enterprise, Picard drags the unconscious crewman along a hallway and uses a small device to demagnetize some doors to a room where he finds himself a phaser and something else.
Starfleet. You won't kill me.
You sure?
Picard injects a powerful sedative into D'Vore's chest.
Seems you're right.
Picard forces another door and once inside stretches up towards the ceiling, but is interrupted by a weapon being poked into his back. He turns slowly to find a grim-looking Artarian woman whose distinctive heavy brow and deep-set eyes are horribly sinister in the darkness.
Yes, but Torellian laser art is very similar in both form and composition.
Well, of course. You know, funny you should mention that. I used to be stationed on Torellian.
Really?
Yes.
Did you know that there are currently 5 Torellians serving aboard the Enterprise?
Oh, no, that's fascinating. Mm. Not too many people know this. But Torellia is only one of 3 known inhabited planets without a magnetic pole.
I was aware of that.
Oh.
But are you aware that Torellia is one of 7 known planets with no atmosphere whatsoever?
Really?
Mm.
They're still at it.
Non-stop. I have to admit, it has a sort of strange fascination. How long can 2 people talk about nothing?
LaForge is stocking up his plate at the buffet when his attention is drawn to something further along the table. Slowly, he leans in closer, curious and mildly alarmed.
Is something wrong?
I don't know. I was just getting some very strange energy readings from your table here.
Well, I'm sure it's nothing serious. Perhaps a heating element underneath the table is malfunctioning.
Maybe I should take a look at it for you.
I'm sure we can handle this, whatever it is, Commander. There's no need to concern yourself.
Well, maybe I should look at the element, I mean, in case it...
It's all right. Please, don't worry.
Well, it's probably just
that all about?
Adjusting the energy.
I assure you, Commander LaForge, it's all right. We'll look into it. You don't have to concern yourself.
Riker approaches.
Horton, now!
Orton shoves LaForge to the floor, grabs a gun from a drawer in the table, and shoots LaForge as he tries to get back up. His accomplice grabs another gun.
What is going on?
The accomplice shoots Hutchinson.
Stay right where you are.
He swings his gun around to Data, who has instinctively taken some steps toward him. Deanna reaches desperately out to help the unconscious Hutchinson, but dared to attract the gunman's attention. The Beryon sweep is now almost halfway along the Enterprise's engines, and on board, the crew are making themselves busy.
Reduce the plasma pressure to 0.6% nominal.
0.6.
How does the conduit look?
It's clear.
All right. The main plasma flow has been shunted to the aft conduit. We're ready here.
Okay, that should do it, I think.
Be sure, Neil.
Yes. Yeah, that does it.
All right. Transfer 500 milligrams from the reserve system to the engine core.
perfect.
Adequate. Disable the containment overrides and get the interlocks off the magnetic seal.
Palm it! Prepare the transport assembly! Keep watching that power flow, it might...
Picard enters, followed by his armed captor.
Keep working!
Where'd he come from?
Found him on Deck 7.
Who are you?
My name is Mott. I'm the barber.
Barber? What the hell are you doing here? Everyone was supposed to be evacuated to the surface.
Yes, I know. But I wanted to go riding, but I didn't have my saddle, so I went back to get it. Yes, that's right. It's on Deck 7. I left it in the corridor, and then the power went out, and I got lost.
All right, shut up. Just shut up! Any sign of DeBoer?
No.
Sattler, get down here and keep an eye on our barber. All right, go see if you can find DeBoer. Make sure nothing's wrong.
Sit down.
All right. Look, just don't point that thing at me.
Just do what I tell you and you won't have to worry.
Meekly, Picard slides down the wall and hugs his knees to his chest.
How long until you're ready?
40, maybe 50 minutes.
The Baryon sweep hits this compartment in 30 minutes.
The field diverter will protect us.
It is not us I'm worried about. It's that storage unit. I want the trilithium resin in there and secured before the sweep gets here. I don't want to take any chances.
Understood.
Picard stares in horror at the storage unit. Back on Artaria, a blanket covers Hutchinson's body. Deanna, Riker, and Data gauge the situation, and Beverly treats the unconscious LaForge.
They haven't tried to communicate with the outside.
No demands, no political statements, no theft. They must want something.
Orton is not as calm as he looks. He's very agitated and nervous, as if something's gone wrong.
It is possible that Geordi upset their timetable when he saw the hidden weapons.
Orton may be improvising. Maybe he didn't plan to take us hostage so early, and now he doesn't know what to do.
If they do not have a plan for this contingency, we may have the initiative.
Maybe, but we need to figure out how to use it. How is he?
There's no permanent damage. I've adjusted the optical transducer in his visor to block out some of the pain receptors in his brain. It's only partially effective. I need to get him to a medical facility.
I doubt if they'll agree to that. But maybe if we tell them Geordi's dying, they would give us access to a medical kit. Might be able to use some of the tools to make a weapon.
Perhaps we can use the visor as a weapon. If the optical transducer were modified, we might be able to generate a hypersonic pulse.
A hypersonic pulse would overload the audio receptors of everyone in this room. It would cause immediate unconsciousness.
Can you make the adjustment on the visor yourself? It will look suspicious if you're both working on it.
I'll try. I might need Geordi to help me through some of it.
All right. Be as casual as you can. Let me know when you're ready.
Orton remains still while his cohort stalks around behind him, and Riker goes back to Deanna, who leans despondently on his shoulder. Back on the Enterprise, Picard observes developments closely.
Ready.
All right, begin draining the trilithium at 100 milligrams per minute.
Picard waits for his guard's attention to stray to the frantic activity before them, and when it does, he slowly, carefully takes the laser welder from his back pocket and inserts its barrel into a circular wall socket behind him. The guard turns back, and Picard looks as still and relaxed as he can. When the guard turns away again, he pulls the welder's trigger. Picard barges Sattler to the floor, blasts the top of the diverter with the welder, and rolls under the slowly descending fire door and heads up a ladder to the crawl space above. Sattler follows hard behind. Picard crawls frantically along the claustrophobic access tunnel with Sattler in hot pursuit. Picard reaches a steel door which he quickly demagnetizes. When he wrenches it open, he is confronted by the Barian sweep. It is at the end of the short tunnel between him and the far door and getting closer every second. Picard looks back over his shoulder. He has nowhere to go. Sattler crawls along to where he knows Picard must be. Up ahead, Picard's red tunic lies on the floor in front of the first steel door. Sattler picks it up to reveal a hole cut below it, just as the Barian sweep passes through the door in front of him. He looks up, and in a hallway elsewhere, Picard hears his agonized scream. The captain's face still betrays some sympathy for the man's terrible death. In engineering,
primary inducer is completely fused. There's no way to fix it. Without the diverter, we don't have any protection from the Barian sweep.
I know that. How long before the Barian sweep gets here?
About 12 minutes. We should go to 10 forward. That's the last place on the ship that'll be swept by the Barian field.
All right, we're leaving. But we're taking the trilithium with us.
What? Do you know how volatile trilithium is? We can't just start hauling it through the ship.
She glares at him.
I'll try to make some modifications.
She nods briskly and leaves him to his near impossible task. In another part of the ship, she's joined by Parmed.
Sattler's dead. He ran into the Barian sweep.
What about Mott?
I don't know. But I don't think he's a barber. I found this in the Jeffrey's tube.
He hands her Picard's Federation communicator badge. Picard strides down a hallway and again uses the device to gain entry to Worf's quarters. He still has D'Vor's communicator, which he uses to monitor the saboteurs. He removes Worf's crossbow from the wall.
Still aboard. He's killed Sattler and he may have killed D'Vor. He also destroyed the diverter in engineering, so we have to leave here before the Barian sweep enters this section.
What about the trilithium resin?
We're taking it with us to 10 forward. There should be enough time before...
Kelsey, don't be a fool.
You know better than to try to move trilithium resin.
Mr. Mott, or should I call you Lieutenant? Lieutenant Commander, perhaps?
You can call me whatever you wish.
But moving trilithium resin requires very specific equipment. You can't just improvise something.
I wouldn't need to improvise if you hadn't damaged our field diverter. But if you're so concerned about the trilithium, I suggest you stop interfering with us before you set off an explosion that would destroy the Enterprise and you.
I would rather destroy the ship than allow that resin to fall into the hands of terrorists.
What makes you think I'm a terrorist?
Trilithium resin is a highly toxic waste product produced by our engines.
Its only possible use could be as a weapon.
You might be right, Mr. Mott. We've been planning for this for a long time. And I doubt you'll really be able to stop us. Or even slow us down.
During this exchange, she mouthed the words, "Find him," to Parmed. Picard leaves Worf's quarters with the crossbow.
There. 300 milligrams of trilithium. I'm using a dynamic stabilizer to act as a control rod. There, that should keep the resin stable enough for transport.
Come on! Don't be so tense, Neil. Listen, if something goes wrong, you won't have time to worry about it. Let's go.
She snatched the resin away from a terrified Neil, and elsewhere, Picard dips his arrows into a tube of brown liquid as the sweep nears the bridge.
3 more decks. Then we take corridor 15B all the way to 10. Forward.
What's wrong?
We have to find another way up. The runs are cut.
That wasn't very clever, Mr. Mott.
If you knew where we were, you should have attacked us. Now we'll just take another route, one you might not be able to predict.
There are only so many ways to 10 forward. 10 forward is the logical place to be if you want to stay ahead of the Baryon sweep.
That sweep is just as big a threat to you as it is to us. In fact, if I were you, Mr. Mott,
I'd be trying to find another way off this ship.
He tests some improvised gunpowder.
I plan on leaving the same way you do. On your ship.
What ship?
Come on, Kelsey.
If you've been planning this so long, you must have a way of getting off the Enterprise and leaving this system. I think you have a ship coming for you. I plan to be on it.
It's a small ship, Mott. I don't think there's going to be room for both of us.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'll send your regrets.
His bow now primed and canisters of gunpowder in his hand, he moves on as the saboteurs do the same. Back on Artaria, the air is thick with tension as Riker keeps a beady eye on their captors.
How is he, Doctor?
He's in a lot of pain, but I think he should be fine. He needs some water. Is that all right?
She moves to some glasses and a bottle behind Deanna, whom she quietly addresses.
We're almost ready. When we set the visor to emit the hypersonic pulse, there'll be a short burst of light. We need a distraction.
She crosses back to LaForge as Deanna, in turn, makes her way to Riker.
They need a distraction.
How long?
Just a few seconds.
I think I can distract Orton for a few seconds.
I don't think Orton's in a talking mood, Will.
You just have to know how to talk to him.
Slowly, calmly, he makes his way to Orton.
Orton, I think we need to discuss the situation.
There is nothing to discuss. Sit down.
There's a lot to discuss. Can't we be reasonable?
I am not interested in hearing your hostage negotiation tactics, Commander.
Well, it can't hurt you to listen, can it?
All right.
Thank you. Now, the first thing I think we need to discuss is this.
He brings the heel of his hand up hard into Orton's face and knocks him flying. The accomplice smashes his rifle into Riker's stomach, then up into his face. The small light beam appears between the electrodes of LaForge's visor and goes unnoticed. Orton gets back to his feet, pleased to see Riker dazed on the floor. He looks over to Beverly and Data, who exchange a glance. The Baryon sweep has reached the bridge, and Picard's pursuer makes his stealthy way along a hallway. From the shadows, Picard hits him in the thigh with a drugged arrow, and his would-be captor falls unconscious. Picard carefully makes his way over and takes the man's weapon.
Hold it.
It's the woman who captured him before.
Put your weapon down.
He has no choice but to comply.
Kelsey, this is Kuros. I'm on deck 10. I have
Mott.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Good. Meet us at intersection 41.
Understood.
This way.
She follows behind him as outside, only a third of the circular bow of the ship remains untouched by the Baryon sweep. Neil and Kelsey reach another steel door at the bottom of a ladder.
Give me the trilithium.
How much farther do we have to go?
Not far. With all the modifications you've made to this unit, are we gonna have any problems removing the trilithium?
No. Just remove the control rod, drain the unit. There shouldn't be any problem.
That's all I wanted to know.
He's horrified to find her gun trained on his heart.
Well, not as clever as you thought. Where's Palmet?
He shot him with some kind of an arrow.
He's not dead.
Well, he will be soon. The sweep's nearly here, and we don't have time to go back for him.
What about Neil?
The sweep got him. Let's go.
She ushers Picard away at gunpoint, the trilithium slung over her shoulder. On Artaria, Beverly holds LaForge's visor as Deanna dabs at Riker's cut mouth.
I thought you were just going to talk to him.
I did. He just didn't like what I had to say.
Orton makes his way cautiously to a console in the corner of the room.
That was a perimeter warning from the Remler array. A small ship is approaching. I believe Mr. Orton has dropped his defense shields.
This must be the sign they were waiting for. Mr. Data, you will be the only one unaffected by the hypersonic burst. As soon as everyone else is unconscious, I need you to get to that computer panel and stop that ship somehow.
I will try, sir.
Now.
Beverly presses a button on LaForge's visor and everyone clutches their ears and falls unconscious. Quickly, Data collects the two Artarians' guns and goes to the console vacated by Orton. The sweep is almost complete.
Kelsey, perhaps we can work out a deal.
You're the only one who needs a deal, Mott.
My name isn't Mott. It's Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Picard. This is all beginning to make sense.
Leave the trilithium here and take me with you. You can use me as a hostage instead of threatening it.
I am not a terrorist, Captain, nor do I have a political agenda. Although I know some people who do have agendas. And they are very interested in this little container.
Profit. This is all about profit.
I prefer to think of it as commerce.
She flicks the barrel of her gun for him to continue.
Open the door. Now go through, slowly.
Picard steps over a blue stripe on the floor. When Kiros steps on it, a small explosion blows her and Kelsey off their feet. The trilithium rolls across the floor, and as Picard reaches for Kelsey's dropped gun, she kicks him in the stomach and punches him in the jaw. The Barian sweep passes through the wall of 10 forward, and they stop grappling for a moment when they notice it. Picard throws Kelsey to the floor and dives on top of her. Instantly, she flips him over and pins him to the floor, before Picard again gets the advantage, only to be kicked and punched off her. She crawls for her gun and the trilithium as Picard struggles to his feet and pulls her back to the floor, still clutching them. She hits him in the mouth with the gun and then trains it on him. Picard sees that the sweep has passed through the bar and is edging ever nearer. Kelsey's wrist communicator sounds.
Well, Picard, I guess I'll be the one to send your regrets.
Kelsey beams away.
Picard to a carrier base. Deactivate the Barian sweep.
He clambers backwards and up towards the window.
A carrier base. This is Captain Picard on board the Enterprise. Deactivate the Barian sweep.
He climbs above a ceiling beam.
A carrier base. This is Captain Picard. Deactivate the Barian sweep immediately.
Slowly, he clambers back down towards the floor.
Picard here. Are you all right, Captain?
Yes, Mr. Data.
Sir, an unidentified scout ship has just beamed someone off the Enterprise. Do you know anything about it?
I know they won't get very far.
In his hand is the trilithium container's control rod. He turns to the window as the small craft speeds away. Picard looks on grimly as the massive explosion bathes 10 forward in light and buffets him.
Hold still. You have a nasty little cut here.
Any luck?
I'm sorry, Captain. I don't know what could have happened to it.
Hold still. I can't heal this cleanly if you don't stop fidgeting.
I've had 3 security teams search Deck 7. They couldn't find anything.
There.
Worf enters with Picard's saddle. The captain's delighted.
I found it. Someone put it in a maintenance locker.
Thank you.
Captain, you keep a saddle on board?
Mr. Worf, I'm surprised at you.
Anyone who is an experienced rider naturally has his own saddle.
It's perfectly normal.
Actually, it came in handy. I only wish I'd had the opportunity to use it on a horse.
Of course.
Everyone enjoys Worf's bafflement as the Enterprise leaves Artarian's orbit and continues on its never-ending voyage of discovery. The end.